just one name, Jesus. All power was given to your.
Good morning, everyone. As we make our way to work, make way to the front for worship, I hope you all are doing well. I want to welcome you to our generation service. If you are a guest here, we are very happy you chose to worship with us today. The Bible tells us in Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is good. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." The Bible tells us that we are called to worship God. Now, if you're anything like me, you probably come up with a million excuses not to. One of them is probably like, "But Chloe, I'm not good at singing." Well, I tell you, you don't have to be good at singing to be a worshiper. You don't need to have it all together to be a worshiper. Worship is between you and God. It is a process of humbling ourselves before him, acknowledging that he is good, because he is. The Bible tells us that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. This is all of us here today. So as we worship him this morning, let's not focus on what's going on around us. Let's not focus on how we sound or anything else. But let us focus on the one who is good and full of mercy. Let us focus on the one who declares truth in our lives. So as they begin to sing a song, let's lift up our voices and let us lift up our hands and welcome him with thanksgiving in our hearts.
Say we love you, Lord. We're so thankful for your presence. Yeah. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting like ashes in the wind. Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God, yeah, cause I thank God. I cannot deny what I've seen. I've got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burdened like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Oh, burden and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving. No, you're not welcome here. Oh,
from now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward one has found her way back.
He turned me around, he placed my feet thank the Savior. I thank God.
I thank God. Sing hell. Hell lost another one.
I am free. I am free.
Come on, how many have a testimony in this place?
I thank the Savior because He healed my heart. He changed my name forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
Oh. So we say, get up, get up, get up, get up by that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up by that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up by that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up by that grave. Say, get up, get up, get up, get up by that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up by that grave.
But from the far side of the chasm, you have
Church, we're very thankful to have all of you today, this beautiful Sunday morning. Let's praise the Lord. I know it's something that I've been struggling with. It's not about us. It's not about the way we look. It's not about the people around us. It's about Him. If you would just keep your eyes on Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just take another moment. With every hand raised, let's just pray to God. Call out to Him. Get in that spirit. Thank Him for this beautiful, beautiful morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just pray. Give Him thanks, Lord God. We know You're going to do something beautiful, beautiful today. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right, with all that being said, why don't we just start by showing Him how excited we are to be here this morning. Let's give Him one big hand clap. Why don't you shake the person beside you's hand and tell them just how much that they mean to you, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful to have each and every one of you here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And while you're all doing that, I'm just going to go over a few announcements. All right, so first off on the list, we have that there will be no church on Wednesday the 26th. Again, no church on Wednesday the 26th. Obviously, that's due to Thanksgiving, which I'm sure you're all very excited for. Praise the Lord. All right, now number two on our list is Monday, December 1st. There will be a ladies' Christmas party at 6 p.m. Ladies' Christmas party at 6 p.m. And a couple minders to go with that. We ask that each of you bring an appetizer to share for everyone, and there will be a gift exchange. So if you could all bring one gift, under $10 preferably. Some of you are getting excited. Hallelujah. And of course, with the season coming up, we have our much-anticipated Christmas program on December 14th. Again, that is December 14th. And so we ask that you invite your family and friends, your lost family, your lost friends. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. Whoever you think you'd like to join, choir people, make sure you listen to that song, keeping up with that. Now we have the Archibald Parade on November 28th. The Seawaters ask, they're having an open house, and they ask that you would come to see them before they block all the roads off. November 28th. And then, last but certainly not least, we have some very exciting announcements. We've had a very fruitful service last week, and we've had 3 people receive the Holy Ghost. Can you just give God praise for that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Give Him a hand clap. Lord God, You're so good. Hallelujah, Jesus. May I call Lori Carico up to the stage? If you're in the building, she's not here today. All right, well, we'll save that for later then. May I call Peyton Dominic up to the stage to receive the certificate of receiving the Holy Spirit? Is there a Peyton Dominic? No Peyton Dominic? All right. Well, that's all right. Can I call Kim Ish up to the stage? She did receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Show God how thankful you are. Looks like it for the announcements. We're thankful for us here today, and I'm just going to have the ushers come up as we transform into another form of worship. Let's just pray over this offering today. Everyone, with every hand raised, let's just get into the Spirit. Thank God, Lord Jesus. We know that You're going to do something amazing with these offerings, Lord God. We know that You're going to change so many lives, and that You are in this place, and that You are moving. So I pray over this. I pray for anyone who's going through anything, Lord God. I pray for healing and restoration to whoever may need it, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, Lord God. Come on, continue to praise Him. Let's pray over this offering, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Why don't you come up and just start praising the Lord.
morning, everyone. We can sit. You guys can sit down. Okay. So before I share my testimony, I just wanted to say thank you to the church, because I just love coming here every Sunday. And I'm so blessed to be able to come to God's house and worship Him every Sunday. Okay. So I didn't grow up like going to church every Sunday or having Jesus be the center of our lives. So we usually would just go to church for like holidays or funerals. So I wasn't like really concerned about God. I didn't really care about Him. He wasn't really like important to me. So I really seeked after the world and everything I did. At times I had struggled with like depression or loneliness, but I was a pretty happy person for the most part. But I loved going to parties that my parents hosted or my brothers. I loved being the center of attention in everything I did. I always wanted to be the best at everything, and I was jealous that my brothers were so good at sports. 2 years ago, a friend started giving me Bible studies, and Bible studies started to change my life. I started going to church every Sunday, and I read my Bible on my own. Every time there was a party at my house, instead of going downstairs, I would go up to my room and pray or read my Bible. So I got my parents to come to church with me in defiance. And my hunger for God just kept growing. And fast forward to last year, my brother Brody, he had like this bad stuff in his knee. And my dad was taking me home from school, and he was telling me about this and how he had to have surgery in his knee. And my dad seemed very troubled, so he asked me to pray about it. And I listened to him, and I prayed for my brother's knee. And not only did God fill me with the Holy Ghost that day, but He healed my brother's knee completely. The surgeon said everything went away and nothing was there anymore, and he didn't need surgery at all. I just kept growing in my faith after that, and I let go of my vision board that I made of myself. I used to think I was going to be the next big athlete in my family, or I was going to be the most popular person at school. I let that all go, and God filled me with a desire to get baptized soon after this, so I started searching for a church that would baptize me in Jesus' name. Then I found this church. The only thing that stopped me from getting baptized was my parents' permission. So I wanted to honor them, but they didn't want me to get baptized yet. I kept asking them. I kept giving them Bible studies. I kept praying, but the only answer seemed to be no. But this past Easter, I invited my parents to come with me to church. They agreed, and during altar call, instead of going to the altar, I went back to pray with my parents. And after service was over, my dad asked me what it takes to get me baptized. I was so blessed to be able to get baptized in Jesus' name on Easter with my parents right there by my side at church. I might have had to give up my old life for Jesus, but I got to plant seeds in my parents. I get to live in freedom every single day from any fear, anxiety, depression, drug, or alcohol. I get to experience God's Spirit every single day. Yeah, I might have had to give up my vision board or my old friends, but Jesus is making a new path for me, and I get to be used by God. God restored me and called me His friend, and I'm so thankful that God got a hold of my life, because I don't know where I would be without Him today. He brought me here today, and I'm just asking that we would ask God to fill us with His unquenchable fire, and that we would have compassion for those who don't know God. So let's just all lift our hands to our Father and praise Him today. Thank you.
Made a way. Thank you. You made a way. Everybody say, sing you. Made a way. I don't know why, but
Just continue with thankful hearts. God, you made a way when there was no way. By the grace of God, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Your mercy kept me going, so I owe you my praise.
Praises, oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all my praise.
I got so many reasons.
Your grace is still sufficient, and that's what makes the difference. So I owe you my praise. Now I'm standing here forgiven, knowing life is worth the living. You're the kind of new beginning.
price that you have paid. For your mercies every day, that's why I owe you praise. For the ways that you have made, for the price that you have paid. For your mercies every day, that's why I owe you.
God, I'm thankful. God, I just owe you my praise today in this place. Oh, God, for every way that you've made, God. For every door that you've opened, God, I give you all the glory.
For your mercies every day.
That's why I owe you praises. Oh, Lord, you deserve. Oh, Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh, Lord, you deserve. Oh, Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh, Lord, you deserve. Oh, Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh, Lord, you deserve. Oh, Lord, you deserve all my praise. I've got so many reasons. I got a reason. Hey, I got a reason. I got a reason. I got a reason. I got a reason. Sing, I've got a reason. I've got a reason.
I've got a reason.
I've got so many reasons.
I've got a reason.
Oh, I got a reason. You woke me up this morning. You woke me up this morning. You started me on my way. You put food on my table. I've got a reason. Yes, I do. I've got a reason. Say, you woke me up this morning.
You woke me up this morning.
You started me on my way. You put food on my table.
I got a reason.
You woke me up this morning. You started me on my way. You put food on my table.
I got a reason.
You woke me up this morning. You started me on my way.
You put food on my table.
Sing, I've got.
I got a reason.
You woke me up this morning. You started me on my way.
You put food on my table.
I got a reason. I got a reason.
I got a reason.
Morning by morning by morning.
I got a reason.
You woke me up this morning, God.
I got a reason.
You started me on my way.
You woke me up this morning.
You started me on my way.
You put food on my table.
I got a reason.
You woke me up this morning.
You started me on my way.
You put food on my table.
I got a reason.
I got a reason.
I got a reason. I got a reason to bless your name.
I got a reason.
I'm so thankful, God.
I got a reason.
Hallelujah. I just wonder if we can worship for a few more seconds. Give the Lord all our praise. Hallelujah. I just want to take a moment to thank my youth leaders for letting me be up here today, speak. And I want to thank my pastor, who is my dad, for letting me speak up here today. Because I know I shouldn't be up here today. No one should be here today, but it's only by the grace of God. Sorry, my notes are messed up. Can we all just stand one more time? Just give a few more moments to the Lord. Events that are in the story took place in the summer of 1980. Harry R. Truman spent nearly half his life building his lodge on the shore of Spirit Lake, right beneath the shadow of Mount St. Helens. When he first settled there, people warned him living so close to a volcano was risky. It is. The mountain was quiet then, silent, and had snow covered, but people knew it had erupted in the past. But Truman did not care. He cleared the land himself, dragging the fallen trees away with an old tractor. He had stacked the stones that formed the lodge's foundation. Every board in the walls, every nail on the porch railing, he had placed with his own hands. As he worked, the mountain towered above him, huge, beautiful, unpredictable. Neighbors would say, "Harry, if that mountain ever blows again, it's going to take this whole place with it. Harry, it will take you along with it too." He would laugh, wipe the sweat from his forehead, and answer, "That mountain has been here longer than any of us and hasn't bothered me yet." To Truman, the volcano wasn't a threat. It was a companion. He often told visitors that the rumbling earthquakes deep underground was just a mountain stretching. When he finished the lodge, he sat at the porch and looked up at the peak. He saw the danger. He knew the mountain could erupt without warning and wipe out everything he had built. But he had felt safe there. He said, "This is my home. I built it, and I belong here." Years later, when the scientists warned that Mount St. Helens was waking up, shaking harder, venting steam, the ground swelling, people reminded him of what he had always been told. "Harry, you built your house on the side of a volcano. You need to leave." But Truman refused. He looked out at the lake and the lodge that he built board by board and said, "I don't care if the mountain blows. I'm staying." And on May 18th, 1980, that mountain finally exploded. The force of the eruption swept down the valley and buried the lodge under hundreds of feet of rock and ash. Everything Harry had built, and Harry himself, disappeared beneath it. He had known the risk the day he began building, but he chose to live and die in a place that he felt most comfortable with. I'm not going to be long today, but I have a word to share. The way of the wicked will perish. We can open up our Bibles to Psalms 1. It says, Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like a chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In the moments leading up to the eruption of Mount St. Helens, I just wonder if Harry realized the outcome of being comfortable. If I could put myself in Harry's shoes of his friends and family, knowing that my friend or family member was going to die, and I could not do anything because he had a made-up mind, that he felt comfortable where he was at, that maybe I would put myself in Harry's shoes and maybe realize I was going to die. I can say these things because I've been in the same shoes as Harry, knowing some things, some jokes, some YouTube videos were not holy, and I was not on safe ground, knowing that if the Lord came back at any time, I should surely perish in sin. I don't ever want to feel comfortable in sin, because it states in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe if Harry knew that the unrighteous would not inherit the kingdom of God, that maybe he would have changed his ways. Knowing that I've lived a life I felt comfortable in, where I did it my way, just like the song states, where I know what I'm doing is wrong, where the people in my life are telling me, don't go down this path. When my pastor preaches every Sunday the word that the Lord has given, saying, turn back, turn back, turn back. Where the message is saying, I did it my way. Turn back from the wicked ways before it's too late. The thing that Harry did was not the way of a person who wanted to change. But in the moment of realization that he chose the wrong path, he chose the wrong place to feel comfortable in. I came here to speak a word because I know what it feels like to think I've built a house on a firm foundation, thinking that sin has got my back. But I've come here to tell you in John 10:10, in the words of Jesus, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. If I would have told my pastor, maybe I wouldn't be here on this side of this mountain that can take my life. Maybe if I would have came to God sooner, my life wouldn't feel this way. But I had to cover up uncomfortability with the thought, oh, that's comfortable. If the musicians could come. I don't know if Harry knew that building a house on the side of a volcano was a bad idea. But maybe he did know. But he felt trapped because the things that he had to feel comfortable was all there on that house. And just wanted a sense of comfortability. And knew that if he left, he would lose the things he had built. But he was so blinded by the thought of losing a comfortable season that he would lose his life in an uncomfortable situation. I'm going to pause real quick and give the definition of being comfortable. And that is being so satisfied with your situation to the point that you do not feel a need to change. I'm going to add this with it. It is a scary place when we don't feel a need to change. It's a scary place when we know what the word says, but we silence it. Because we had a fun time with our friends at a party. Because we had a good time to do the things that were not holy. We were drinking, doing drugs, putting things in our body that this world standards, quote, normal. When we thought the world, Jesus says, it would, he, right here, sorry. But while sin started to feel normal, that's a scary thing to feel comfortable with dying in sin. I know some of us will hear this and be like Harry, because I was like Harry, feeling comfortable on a volcano. But knowing it wasn't a good decision. But I came here to tell you, to the people that don't want to die for eternity, that it's okay with losing a false sense of comfortability, a lie from the enemy, and come back to the Lord. I know I read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, but I didn't read verse 11, and that was for a purpose. But verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. We can be comfortable with dying on the side of a volcano like Harry, knowing that I've made mistakes, knowing that the only sense of comfortability that comes to me, I will run with even if it means building a house on the side of a volcano. I don't want any of us here to feel comfortable living a life outside of the Bible, outside of Jesus. I know what it's like, and I've known what it's like to run with a false sense of comfortability. But I also know what it is to feel trapped under hundreds of feet of rock, not knowing if I'll ever be saved again. But God reached his hand down under those rocks, and he pulled me out. None of us are too far from God in the hand of the Lord. As I come to a close today, I want us to be worshipers, asking the Lord to let me not feel comfortable in the sin, to not feel comfortable with living on the side of a volcano, knowing that it could kill me at any time. I want us to pray that we have faith in the Lord and that he will save us from under the rubble we've buried ourselves in. Even though we can't see around, being buried in sin, God knows the way out. I just want to say, as they play this song, we just need to worship the Lord and pray.
that you're in this place, that no shadow, no valley, you won't find me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. First off, I want to thank Pastor and Sister Valerie for allowing us to do this, and all the leadership for allowing us to come here and speak to you guys this morning. Let's give a hand clap of praise for our leadership and our pastor. Thank you guys so much. Not only I want to give glory to where it's due, I feel like God, he's been evidently doing a mighty work in this church. It's very evident for the past month or so. I mean, the word from Brother Pendergrass when he came, what an on-time word. What an on-time word we needed as a church, unity. Also, we had a word from God, a word, the spirits, the gifts of the Spirit poured out 3 or 4 weeks ago. God's touching this church. There's a reason. There's something here that's different. There's something here. God's trying to work something in this church and in this house today. I feel like God, we are getting God's attention. And I feel, I won't try to be long, but I want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost and what God has placed in my spirit. And I want to be obedient to being sensitive, because God's Spirit's here. He's here right now. He's evident. His Spirit's evident. He's here right now. But I want to give honor to God. And one more, can we get a hand clap to God for all he's done and what he's doing? Isn't he worthy? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Ah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like I said, I'm trying to be long, but I wanna be obedient to what God has placed in my spirit and the way he's working in this atmosphere right now. I want to start in Matthew 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I feel like God, for the past month, in preparation for this, and also just before that, I feel like God, he's been doing a work in me. He's been, for this, just this word. And I feel like this word that I want to bring forth is, it's been something that God's been, like I said, he's been dealing with me. It's been, got me to the point where I'm like, God, why? Why are you, what's the reason for this? It got me down on my knees in my personal prayer closet. It's like, God, why are you stirring this in my spirit? What are you doing? What's the reason for this? And I feel like today, I feel like God, like I said, he's been doing a mighty move in this church, and he's doing things in this atmosphere. But I feel like this is a word. I feel like God has, oh, in such a way, placed in my spirit. So like I said, I don't want to be long, but I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I want to be led of the Spirit and truth. This is not my flesh, but I pray that with the help of God, I can bring forth the word that he's placed in my spirit. Ha, Jesus, help me. Let's pray right now, Lord. With all the hands lifted right now, come on. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I hunger and I thirst for you, oh God. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, I hunger for you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, let this word sink deep in our bones, God. Let it get deep inside of us, God, that we would not leave here the same, but God, we would leave here different, God, that we would come to you hungry and longing for your presence, Lord. Lord, I give you glory. I give you honor, Lord. And in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to start off in Genesis 25. This was after Abraham. Abraham just died, and it's on to Isaac and his descendants. And it says, I'm going to give a little foundation before I begin. And Isaac, here was his wife, Rebecca. She was barren. And he entreated the Lord for his wife. He prayed for his wife, entreated for his wife, Rebecca. And his wife conceived. And we know back in those times, being barren, it was a hard thing for a woman and a wife to not be able to have a child, to carry on the inheritance and the legacy of the, especially Isaac. She was barren, but he entreated the Lord, and she conceived. And it says that there was a struggle in her womb, and she was asking God, you know, may I ask what's going on, what's happening? There's a struggle in the womb. I don't understand what's going on. And God said that there's two nations in your womb. Two men or people shall be separate from thy bowels. He said one people shall be stronger than the other people, than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And this is here where I want to lead off into the story. It's a familiar story we're all familiar with Jacob and Esau. It says, and when her days, in verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were two twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like in hairy garments, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. He was skillful. He was a skillful hunter. He was skilled. He was a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So a birthright, these are not my words, but it says a birthright denotes the special prerogatives that God assigns to a firstborn son. A double share of inheritance, headship of the clan, a covenant representation before the Lord, because lineage was the conduit of promise. The birthright carried profound spiritual weight alongside with his material benefits. So here, Esau, he was the firstborn. He was the first one that came out. But Jacob, right behind him, grabbed his heel. He took a hold upon Esau's heel. And Esau was supposed to have the birthright. He was supposed to have the inheritance, the blessing. He was supposed to be the one with all the spiritual authority as the firstborn. But I want to go back to verse 34. It says that, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised, everybody say despised, his birthright. And the word despise here, it meant nothing to him. His birthright, all the things of God, the calling of God on his life, it meant nothing to him. It was, you know, he was called from God since birth. He was going to be the firstborn. He had those spiritual authority. He was the head of the clan. He was the firstborn. But there was a difference between him and Jacob. Jacob since birth, he had a hold of Jacob's heel. Since birth, Jacob had a hunger, had a true hunger. Esau, he had all the skill. He was a cunning hunter. He had all the skill. He had a hunter, and Isaac loved him. He was loved, and Jacob, there was a difference, because Jacob, he's like, he made up in his mind. He's like, you know what? I'm more hungry than you. I want the birthright. If you don't want it, if you're going to give up your birthright over food, and that's what I think when I read that. I'm like, oh, seriously, over a pottage? You're going to give the inheritance and the anointing that you're going to get over just food? And Jacob said, no, not me. Nah, not me, not me. Look, I want the anointing. I want God. I want more of him. I'll pray more. I'll fast more. I'll read the word of God more. I don't care what it takes. I may not have skill. I may not be talented, but I have a hunger for God. He was a heel grabber. A heel grabber. He was always reaching. Reaching since birth. He had a hunger. And Esau despised his birthright. I'm going to get too off topic. And I don't want to call any names. But for the past month or so, I was calling Chloe. And every time I call Chloe, she would say to me, there was one Saturday, I picked her up, and I don't know what we were doing. And the first thing she said to me is, I'm hungry. She said, I'm hungry. She didn't say hi or like, how's your day? Or sorry to call you out, Chloe. But, Lord. But she didn't care what else was going on. You know, she said, I'm hungry. And I was like, okay, where do you want to go? She's like, I don't know, I'm just hungry. And I'm so hungry. And she said that she was like the point of like fainting, or like she said she felt weak. I was like, okay. We probably should get something to eat. Because if you know me, when I'm hungry, I tend to pass out sometimes. So I know when someone's hungry, we probably should go eat something. But she didn't care what was going on. And there was a couple times, past couple weeks, I called her. The first thing she would say is, I'm hungry. I'm like, Chloe, I'm like, how was your day? But, Lord have mercy. But I want to tie that to spiritual sense here, that I want to get to the point where I'm so hungry that I don't care what's around me or what's going on. It's just I'm hungry for you, Jesus. Oh, God, I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else matters. I don't care what anybody says or what's going on. I just want you, Jesus. Jesus. I'm trying to stir up the gift that's within thee. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that's within thee by putting on of hands. I'm trying to stir up the gift of God inside of us here today. That's my mission today, is I want to stir up the gift of God inside of us, our hunger and our thirst for God. And there's been times too, where I'm in my car, and you ever get those times where you're just jamming out? I know Pastor preaches about it sometimes, and he says that, you know, you just jam out your song, and, you know, just, you know, praise is, oh Lord, you know, you're singing away, and you got nothing, no care in the world, and you're getting on, you're getting a jam, you got that one playlist where it's like 500 songs, there's sad songs, there's good songs, there's happy songs, there's fast songs, and you're just like, and there was the one time I was listening to like a fast song, and I was getting into it. It was after work. I was working at Worthington Steel when I was with David Short, working for him for electrical, and on the day after work, I was listening to a fast song, and all of a sudden, this one song came on. I was like, it hit me. I was like, man. Tears start rolling in my eyes. I'm like, Jesus, oh, help me. Like, Lord, I love you. Jesus, you're so holy. You're so good. And the song is called Love Sick. And I want to read the verses to the song called Love Sick. It's by Maverick City. You guys may be familiar with it. Probably Blaze. But it says, the verse says, no, you cannot deny it, a heart that is desperate. Only you satisfy it, a heart that is desperate. We're desperate. We're desperate for Jesus. We're hungry. We're hungry for Jesus. Nothing else can satisfy my soul. We're hungry for Jesus. We only want Jesus. We're thirsty for Jesus. And I looked up the meaning. What does lovesick mean? And there's, when you look it up just on the web, there's like a romantic, you know, when you're not away from your loved one or your wife or your husband and you're lovesick. But I looked up what's the biblical, like how we can apply this biblically in a biblical sense. And it says in Scripture, being lovesick describes, it's an intense longing for someone dearly loved. The person's heart is so attached that the absence or separation creates an emotional weakness. It says a deep desire that affects the whole person. This includes emotion, thoughts, and even the body. Faintness, loss of appetite, distraction. Says some Christians apply this spiritually as it's a deep longing for God's presence, a soul overwhelmed with the love for God, a yearning that nothing else can satisfy. In this spiritual sense, being lovesick symbolizes the believer's desire and hunger for God's presence, so strong that affects everything about them. In a psalm that reminded me of this very definition of the word lovesick, it says, Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oh God, I pray that we get that kind of lovesick in us. That God, Lord, I need you. Oh, God. Lord, I love sick. I have a love sick for you, God. I can't live this life without you. That's my prayer, that will get deep down in your bones, in the marrow of your bones, in every part of you, that, oh, God, I can't live this life without you. Not a minute, not a day, not a second, but I need you every second of my life. I feel like Sometimes I've been watching you recently closely to things and my surroundings, and I've seen at conferences and just certain places, certain services, it seems as though that when I look at the altar and when it's time to pray, that I see that sometimes there may be more women than us men folk. And I feel, as a man, I feel like for me, it's hard for me to express, my feelings. It's hard for me to open up what's really going down deep inside of me. It's hard for me to openly express that. But I feel like I've been looking around, and even when the men, when we're praying, and this is for me also, that there's not as much of a fervency when I see the ladies up here. They're pouring out their spirit. There's something about a mama when she's praying for her babies. There's something about a mother when she prays, she gets down on her knees and says, "Lord, touch my child. Do whatever you have to do." But us men, like I said, I feel like sometimes we don't pray with the fervency as we should. This is for me included. And not to get too much off topic, but I feel convicted one time, Wednesday night, I passed Brother Harp. we were on County Road, we were on Route 6, passing, I came to church, and I was like, "Sister Valley," I felt convicted today. I came to Sister Valley, I was like, "I passed Brother Harp, I felt so horrible. I'm sorry, Brother Harp, I'm sorry." But, like I said, I've been watching closely, just, and I look in every Wednesday night, when it's time for pre-service prayer, oh God, I see Brother Harp get up here. And I'm not sure how old you are, but he's always, when I look up here, I see him up here, Lord, on his hands and his knees. Oh, and he's praying. He's praying to God like it's just him. His Brother Harp up here, he didn't care what's going on. I see Brother Harp. Oh, it broke me. It broke me. I'm like, when's the last time I got down on my knees? When's the last time I got down on my knees and I prayed to God with all my fervency in me and all, with everything inside of me? That encouraged me, Brother Harp. That encouraged me. It doesn't matter how old I am or if I'm a man or a woman or whatever I am, but I'm getting down here to this altar and I'm praying to God who saved me, who sets me free. Oh, I don't care. It's hard for me to express my feelings, but I feel like as a man, it may be hard, but that encouraged me. It doesn't matter, like I said, what age, what gender. I'm praying to God with all fervency in my soul. Doesn't matter what service, doesn't matter who's preaching. I don't care. I'm giving God my best. It doesn't matter who's there, who's preaching. If I'm at conference, if I'm at NAYC, or a pastor's preaching, or Rivers preaching, or Brother Mikey's preaching, I'm giving my all. Jesus. And I feel like as a man, and I know I'm not a father, but I feel like as a man, I want my babies, when they come to me, say, hey, dad, Hey, Dad, I have a pricking in my heart that we need to go pray, and I want to be sensitive, and I don't want to be all caught up with, I don't want to express my emotions, but I want to be led of the Spirit. And they say, yeah, let's pray. I feel the tugging of my spirit that God's telling us to pray. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Let's pray. Let's go pray as a family, as a man. I want to build my house of prayer. When my kids, when they feel that in them, I'm like, yeah, let's go pray. Let's go pray. Let's go into the presence of God because we're hungry for the presence of God. Because the reason why there's something different about when you get down on your knees and you're at this altar or wherever your altar is, your prayer closet. There's something about it, because the Greek and the Hebrew word of worship, the Greek and the Hebrew word, I'm trying not to kill it, but it means shaka, and it means to prostrate oneself downward, face down. Worship means to bow oneself down in reverence. It means to give homage to someone superior. And the Greek, it means proskinio, and it means something similar. It means to bow oneself down, to fall on the hands and the knees, face down in worship. That's what there's a difference when we get in a prayer closet. And when we come here, pre-service prayer, when we get on our hands and our knees and we do the authentic worship of shaka and proskinio, when we bow down and we before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's something about it. There's something about it because it's authentic. It's the real thing. That's real worship. There's other ways to worship, but that's worship itself right there, is to bow in reverence. The Bible, the only time in the Bible where God said he hated somebody, they had a hatred. It was in Romans 9:13. It says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The reason why God had a hatred for Esau is because Esau lost his real love. He lost his love for the King of Kings. He lost his love for God. I feel like as I was praying, I was asking God, why? Why are you placing this in my spirit so heavily? I feel like we've lost our true love and our hunger for God. Oh, God, help me. I'm not just preaching to you guys, but I'm preaching to myself. There's been times where even my spiritual walk with God, I've lost my hunger. And there's been things and situations going on. I was busy, and there's been moments where I feel like I lost my hunger myself. I'm not preaching just to you guys. It's to me. It's me, myself, and I, and you guys, to everyone. But I had to pick myself back up and had to crawl myself to that altar, to that prayer closet. I said, Lord, I love you with all my heart. Oh, Jesus, I love you with all my soul. God, I love you with all my might. Lord, I love you with everything inside me. God, forgive me. I'm sorry I lost my hunger. I'm sorry I lost my love sick for you. Jesus. And like I said, I'm not a father, but as I know my earthly father, and the Heavenly Father, I felt like the Lord spoke to me in prayer. Oh, deep within, and it says, I was like, God, why? I was like, God, I want your people to worship you and love you with all their heart, with all their might, with everything inside of them. I want them to have their own love and their own hunger. I'm like, God, I'm praying, Lord, I really want people just to love you and to worship you and give you glory where it's due. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me. He said, as a father, you cannot force your children to love you. That broke me. I was like, God, I'm like, when I wake up every morning, I make sure every day I wake up and say, I love you, Jesus. Every night I make sure to say, God, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my soul. Lord, I love you with everything inside of me. Lord, you don't have to wait for me. Lord, I'm going to come to you. God, I already know you love me, but God, I love you. I hunger and thirst for you, Lord. Jesus. We got to get our love back for God. I mean, I'm talking about a hunger and a lovesick and a longing for God, because he didn't just do all the things he's done for me to stay quiet. He didn't do everything to pull me out of all the stuff I was in for me not to hunger and love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. I feel like this would be a good time to stand and tell the Lord how much you love him. Oh, God. Lord, I love you with all of me. Oh, God. Lord, I love you with all the deepness of my soul. Lord, I love you with all my heart, all my soul, with all my might, God. Lord, I give you everything. Lord, I give you everything. Lord, I can't live a second. I can't live a day. I can't live, not a moment, God. I can't live. I can't breathe without you, Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, God. Help this church, Lord. Help these people, God. Oh, God, I love you with everything inside of me. Jesus. Jesus. There's another man. There's another man in the Bible. He was like Esau. Sorry, I'm not trying to waste your guys' time here. I just want to be obedient to what God has placed in my spirit. And I know we're thinking about arroz con pollo and chips and salsa after this, but I just want to be led of the Spirit and what God's doing in this atmosphere right now and what God has placed in my spirit. I just want to be obedient unto the Lord. But there's another man. His father was named Manoah. And his mother, she was barren. She couldn't conceive. It said the Lord came to him as an angel. The angel of the Lord came unto them. It said, you're going to conceive a child, and no razor shall come upon his head, and you shall not drink strong drink or wine or eat any unclean thing. He's going to be a Nazarite from the womb. And then the wife told Manoah what happened. And then Manoah entreated the Lord, come again. Tell us what we need to do with this child. And he said, as I've said to the woman, you shall do. No razor shall come upon his head. You shall not drink strong drink or wine or eat any unclean thing. He shall be our Nazarite from the womb. go to number 6. And a Nazarite, the law of a Nazarite says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children and sing unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and he shall drink no vinegar or wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall come no razor upon his head until the day he fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. And all the days of his separation, he separates himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. It says, he shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And this man's name was Samson. He was a Nazarite from the womb. A Nazarite from the womb, a call to God. And as you read in Judges, in the story of Samson, the first thing, he was supposed to lead Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. But the first thing he says, seize that Philistine woman, go get her for me. To his mother and his dad. And when you're not supposed to marry the other nations, he was walking with his mother and his father, and he was walking, and it says that he killed a lion with his hands, with his bare hands. He had strength. He was strong. And we know the story of Samson. He was strong. Killed a lion with his bare hands. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he came back to that carcass. He stuck his hands, and there was honey in there. And as a Nazarite, you're not supposed to touch the dead, or you're going to be unclean. Then, as we go on through the story of Samson's life, he had a festival, drinks. He was drinking party. When you're not supposed to drink strong drink as a Nazarite, you're not supposed to be in the vineyards, and he was in a vineyard. He despised his calling. He didn't have a hunger. He didn't have a love for God. He broke every law, every vow. He was a Nazarite since birth. He was supposed to be something great. I mean, he killed thousands with a jawbone of a donkey, and you're not supposed to touch the dead? He didn't have a love for God or for the things of God. He lost his love. He lost his hunger. Lord, help us, God. I want to ask, when's the last time we got down on our knees? When we got down on our knees and prayed to God with everything inside of us and said, oh, God, Lord, I love you. Lord, I worship thee. When's the last time we were so flowing in the Holy Ghost that nothing else mattered and tears were flowing down our face. My prayer for everyone here and for myself is that you would truly hunger and thirst for the Lord with everything inside of you. That you would get a love sick so deep and so consumed of God. Because when we think about eternity, we're going to be praising God 24/7. So why shall not I do it here right now? And all that God has done for me, I pray that that's your prayer. That's my prayer. Is, oh God, oh, I pray that everyone here in this house would love, would get a hunger and a thirst. Oh God, help me. Oh God, Lord, I love you with all my heart. Oh, I love you with all my soul. God, I hunger. Lord, I thirst for thee. Lord, I have a love sick for you. I can't live this life without you. I can't do nothing without you, God. Lord, you saved me. You set me free. God, give us a hunger back in our hearts, a true, genuine hunger back in our souls, a true hunger in us, God. Lord, in me, Lord, less of me and more of you, God. I decrease that you may increase. Lord, I hunger. Thank you.
Lord, you're willing to fill us, but it's our choice.